Well, let me welcome back Kevin Loco here to Systematically Wild. And Kevin, a very interesting week for the clubs throughout the levels there. So we'll start this week with the Iowa Wild. Saw their winning streak come to an end when they travel out to Coachella Valley, a very difficult place to win at. Then come up with a dominating victory over San Diego on Saturday night. So your overall thoughts on the Wild and their performance this past week?
I thought they made a pretty good showing for themselves. They are battling some injuries now, and call-ups. You have Sammy Walker up at the big club, and Adam Beckman suffered an injury in the two games in Coachella Valley. So that's two big parts of your offense that you're missing now. So when you look at the line charts they had for the games and for the game on Saturday night and against San Diego, it didn't really look like much after like the first line or so, but I thought Marco Rossi has once again stepped up and become a dominant force in his team, became the AHL Player of the Week with his output, and the Wild put together a nice victory and then now head home for some games.
Well, the great thing I think you take away from this week is I thought it was pretty solid goaltending. Coachella Valley's very difficult team to face against. They're, you know, I think second best record in the AHL right now. I'm going to make sure that's true, and it is. Just behind Calgary and tracking down them to try to get that top spot. Both those teams already clinched playoff spots. Two of three teams that have done so at this point. So you go in there, you give up four on Wednesday, you give up three on Saturday, then you come back with a nice performance against San Diego. So I thought pretty solid goaltending. The difficulty was scoring, as you mentioned, the team losing some guys that are heading up there. But nice rebound contest on Saturday. Marco Rossi with a hat trick for the club. They get up 2-0, then San Diego ties the game up. Then they battle back with four unanswered goals and two of those on the one on the power play. I think you look at that and you say, well, you're winning games, you have to win. San Diego's a team that's really struggling. You probably would have liked at least one point out of Coachella Valley, but you got to beat the goals, and that's what they did.
And they did in pretty impressive style, 6-2. They were all shot pretty badly in the last two periods, but they had a pretty good lead built up by then, so, you know, there wasn't too much of a sense of urgency to try to pump some more shots on goal. So we should mention that Tyler Bush, who had played a lot of the season with Iowa Heartlanders, was called up to the Iowa Wild and got a chance to play on Saturday night.
Yes, he did. Had one penalty against him there, so served 2 minutes in the box. So congratulations to him, because he was playing pretty well for the Heartlanders. He'd gotten up to, I think, 15 goals with the club before he was called up, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. But this is an organization, I know that they were looking to try to get a little bit of help down from the Heartlanders and hadn't really been getting much from that. So Bush getting a call-up, there's a couple of guys also that I think might get a shot with that, you know, to get moved up here to the Wild if they need somebody. But I did want to say we don't want to leave out Nick Batan, who had a goal and two assists on Saturday night as well in that victory. This is solid performance from that first line by the club. And if you look at it right now, Kevin, do you think that either Rossi or Batan is in a situation right now that they get a call up if there's one more forward that's out and it needs to be replaced?
I don't think there will. I think there's, with the big club, you got Marcus Foligno potentially coming back on Tuesday, and then at some point, Kirill Kaprizov is there. The talk is up there that Sammy Walker will soon be heading back to Iowa, so I don't think they're going to need reinforcements. I think they'll have a Walker come back from Minnesota, and it doesn't sound like it's really a long-term injury for Beckman. So he should be back at some point, so I don't see a rush to try to nab some more players from the Heartlanders.
The team remains in San Diego for Tuesday. then Grand Rapids comes to town on Friday and Saturday. Very interesting little stretch for the team, because after that game on Saturday on the 25th, they are off until the next week Saturday. So they're going to get a little bit of an extended break here to, you know, kind of recoup out. This is a time that everybody's got injuries and bumps and bruises and things going on. So they're going to get a little bit of a break here. Grand Rapids right now, though, Kevin, they come into this weekend series at 25-29-7. They are in last place in the division. Clearly games this team has to win. San Diego in last place. I mean, realistically, you look at this and you say, man, this should be a six-point sweep this week.
It should, but, I mean, you still got to go out and get the wins. And it'll depend on what kind of attitude that Grand Rapids comes into it, if they're just playing out the string or if they're going to be interested in these games. Because, it sounds like Grand Rapids is lagging behind in the standings a bit right now. You know, another thing I do want to mention and that I read today was, I'll probably butcher his name, but seems to be a theme on this show. Jason, I don't know if it's Polin or Pauline, but he's a junior for Western Michigan, and he has 29 goals this season to go with go with 17 assists, 46 points. Sounds like the Wild are coming after him. He's a center. So if, granted, there are several other NHL teams looking at him, but if Minnesota were to get him, I could see if Western Michigan is eliminated from NCAA play that he could get signed and could help Iowa out before the end of the season. So that would be a definite boost to the club.
You know, you and I have talked about this a little bit during the season, but this Central Division, this 18 points separates first from seventh. And that just seems like a, I mean, 18 points, it really isn't that many points for, you know, top to bottom in the division. You have two teams now tied at the top at 75 points. There's Milwaukee and Texas. Manitoba is right behind that at 74. Then you have Iowa and Rockford look pretty solid right now for that fourth and fifth spot. But as you've said on a few occasions here, you know, you have a bad week and they have a good week. All of a sudden, an 8-point lead becomes, you know, you're clinging to 1 or 2 points all of a sudden. And just an exciting division. No matter who you're voting for in this division, you've got to see some pretty good action each and every night.
Yeah, as I'm looking at the standings here, it looks like you're starting to get some separation between, like, Iowa, Rockford, and then Chicago's 9 points behind Iowa and Rockford. Granted, they've got three games in hand on Iowa and two in hand on Rockford, but obviously not a guarantee that they're going to win all those. So you got to start thinking that it's looking like it'll be Iowa versus Rockford in a playing series. And, you know, as we talked about, we don't know what Rockford is going to look like at that point. If by then, maybe the Blackhawks send some reinforcements down. So, and I don't think you would see much for reinforcements from Minnesota other than getting guys back that they had most of the year, like Sammy Walker. And just in case Beckman got called up, he would probably get a chance to come back down. But it does seem like Iowa and Rockford are on a collision course for that playing series for the battle, either Milwaukee or Texas in the first round. And, you know, that's going to be a dogfight regardless of who you face.
Let's drop down to the Iowa Heartlanders. They lose their first two games of the week. You know, obviously, You're losing to Cincinnati 3-1 on Friday, 4-2 on Saturday. One of the hottest teams in the AHL or ECHL right now. Excuse me, I said AHL. ECHL, a team that is 16-0-2 over their last 18 games, got themselves to the top spot in the division right now because of how well they played. I mean, this is just a ridiculously hot team. And you and I talked last week, Kevin, about going out there and wanting to make Cincinnati work for this. The Cyclones have to score two late goals on Friday night to come away with a victory out of that. Then they have to continually battle as Iowa rallied on Saturday to almost force overtime in that contest. I think you got to pat these young Heartlanders on the back for that effort they gave this weekend.
I think you do, and I think what you're seeing now with more new players coming into the fold with Heartlanders, that you're getting a little bit of even more of a young influence than you had before. And obviously, you know, as far as they are out of the playoff chase, they really got nothing to lose at this point. So I think you're just seeing a team probably enjoying playing hockey right now and making life a little difficult for the teams above them in the standings.
On Sunday, Hunter Jones records his first ECHL shutout. He had two in the AHL in his first season in the league. A guy that we were looking to kind of turn the corner, Kevin, early on in the year was struggling. Now wasn't bouncing back and forth. He's solidly the number one goaltender for the Heartlanders and is playing two, sometimes three games in a week. Looks like some of those, you know, thoughts or those accolades that the Minnesota Wild wanted to harp on him to get him into a spot that where he would be a potential goaltender for them one day. Finally, looks like he's starting to get what they were looking for in his performance each night.
I think so. And, you know, I just think that bodes well for the future too, that maybe depending on what happens to Zane McIntyre after the season, you could see Jones finally get a full-time gig with the AHL club in a timeshare with Jesper Wallstedt. Though I see that the Heartlanders did bring in Mitch Benson, who was the main goalie for Boston College in Hockey East this year. So we'll see as the season winds down that maybe they want to give Benson a look and see who they got there as far as getting guys in the fold for next year. So, and of course, Darian Hansen's been playing quite a bit also.
This week, the Iowa Heartlanders have a three-game series with the Wichita Thunder. I will be out there for all three of those games, but on the visitor side of the broadcast booth for fans out there. Wichita really struggling right now. They've had a lot of injuries and a lot of guys either headed over for Europe or got called up. So they are down to currently tied for fourth place in the Mountain Division at 28-28-5. The Iowa Heartlanders enter at 16-32-13. So it should be an interesting week. Iowa get an opportunity to play spoiler, trying to knock Wichita out of that spot to battle for a playoff spot right now, Kevin.
Hey, you know, there's a couple teams that don't get to play each other that much, so it'll be an interesting matchup. So fans that want to get your autograph before the game, where will you be, and how can they catch up with you?
So I'll be in the visiting broadcast booth, but if you want my autograph, you really need to find something better to admire. So that's for sure. But it should be fun. So I'll be out there having a good time for sure. So,
you know, sometimes I tell people, hey, if I want your autograph, it better be on a piece of paper that also says pay to the order of.
Yes, exactly right. I'll fill in the numbers. That'd be perfect. Let's jump to the Minnesota Wild now up here at the big club. So they start off the week with an 8-5 victory in St. Louis, a spot that they have not played particularly well in recent years, Kevin. Come away with a big victory. Come home to lose 5-2 on Boston on Saturday before coming back with a 5-3 victory over Washington. 2-1 week against some pretty quality opponents, so you got to feel pretty good about that.
I'll say one thing. It wasn't a boring week between the stuff going on in St. Louis where all of a sudden they decided to play 1980s hockey. I almost had a goalie fight between Jordan Binnington and Marc-Andre Fleury. It was quite an awkward night in St. Louis, but like you said, it was nice to get out there at 2 points once again. And I'd like to know the last time Minnesota won two regular season games in St. Louis, because it had been quite a while ago. So that was a big win for them on Wednesday night, especially in front of a national audience on TNT. They got a little unlucky on Saturday against, you know, the juggernaut known as the Boston Bruins. Lost 5-2. There's an empty net goal, and the Wild had two goals called back. So, you know, take away your positives there that they scored four on Boston. But if it wasn't for the puck being just barely offsides on one of the goals, and we don't know what happened on the other one where they caught it offsides. But I thought they made a good showing for themselves, especially without the best player. And I thought they showed even more moxie and coming back 24 hours later and beating a Washington that's also battling for a playoff spot.
Matt Boldy with a big hat trick in there, and you were talking about he was, you know, not as visible on the score sheet for a few weeks. Looks like he's starting getting his scoring touch back for this club.
I think I never noticed it 2 years ago during the COVID shortened year, but Marcus Johansson has been a real nice addition to that line with Erickson, Eck, and Boldy, and I think that was the. I think that was the spark that Boldy needed, was someone that he could get instant chemistry from. And like one of the goals that Boldy had, it was just a great couple passes from Erickson Eck to Johansson and over to Boldy to finish off the play. So, you know, I'm getting excited to see if that line can keep things going. If Kaprizov gets back in the fold by the playoffs, that's a couple of really good scoring lines that Minnesota's going to throw out there for the playoffs. And don't forget the juggernaut called Ryan Reeves. Reeves had two more goals this week, so two goals in three games for him. As he joked about, he said, well, you know, I don't think they brought me in to fight. So, So it was nice to see him chipping in too, and you know, just that whole fourth line playing some really good hockey.
Let me jump back to the St. Louis game with you for a moment. The team gives up three power play goals to the Blues in that contest. Any concern that you have about special teams coming down the stretch here?
I think there is. I noticed it in the Boston game on Saturday too that the penalty kill just wasn't what it had been when they had those stretches of games where they're only giving up 0, 1, or 2 goals a game. So I don't know what's going to take, a little film work, a little maybe low personnel adjustment, but it is a little bit of a concern right now. I mean, they gave up 2 power play goals, I think, on Sunday, but come on, it's Alex Ovechkin, so, you know, you're not going to totally shut him down.
Lycan Ryan Hartman scored 2 goals on Wednesday. You were talking about a guy who had a, you know, career year last year and then seemed almost non-existent, but starting to get himself back on the score sheet on a regular basis. And as you're looking to try to get deeper into the playoffs and ensure that a team can't mark up against your top line to shut them down, you need scoring from other lines. Ryan Hartman looks like he's getting it all back together here at the right time of the year.
And that's a big boost, too, because, you know, when Kaprizov went down, it wasn't going to just be one guy that was going to pick up the slack. It was going to have to be everybody. And you hope that Hartman's confidence will carry over to when Kaprizov does come back and they get that line back together.
Tough loss, as Kevin mentioned, on Saturday to Boston, 5-2. Bruins, best team in the NHL right now, so you can't hang your head too low about that one. They come away with a nice 5-2 victory over Washington on 5-3, I'm sorry, on Sunday. Matt Boldy with the hat trick, Alex Ovechkin with 2 goals for Washington. Marc-Andre Fleury, after a rather tough victory over St. Louis, stopped 33 of 30 shots against Washington. I looked at that Wednesday contest as kind of a little bit of an anomaly for him, Kevin. I think he's still playing very well for this club.
Well, keep in mind, too, you know, the Boston game and the St. Louis game, you also didn't have Jared Spurgeon nor Jake Middleton playing. And those two guys, you know, we're talking about the problems with the penalty kill. Well, oh, no, I'm sorry. Spurgeon said it was Jonas Brodin that came back from injury. So, yeah, neither of those two playing against St. Louis or Boston. So that may have had something to do with the roles on the penalty kill. So, but it was a big boost to get both of them back on Sunday and pretty much have the blue line back intact again. So it was interesting. John Merrill got scratched on Sunday, and it was Klingberg and Galagoski as your third pair, and those guys played together as defensive partners in Dallas. So it'll be interesting to see down the stretch what you're going to do as far as where you're going to slot in Merrill, where you're going to slot in Keelan Addison, is it going to be a timeshare, whatever it is. I mean, it's good options. So, you know, in the Wild, Blue Line's looking pretty good too.
12 games left in the season, Kevin. Minnesota 40, 22, and 8 heading into this week. 1 point behind Dallas. Is this the top team in the division when we're 3 weeks from now?
Well, it's really hard to not think that Colorado's going to eventually take that top spot. They do have games on hand on Minnesota and Dallas, and you know, they continue to get their top guys back, so you just have to. I just can't imagine Dallas or Minnesota being able to hold off the Avalanche.
Yeah, they've won 5 in a row heading into this week here. And so Minnesota, though, Kevin, start with New Jersey on Tuesday in New Jersey, then travel to Philadelphia on Thursday, come home to take on the Chicago Blackhawks on Saturday. New Jersey is a team battling for a better playoff position right now, getting a lot of scoring punch. It's a group that has some talent to them. Philadelphia has struggled this season. Chicago has traded away some of their best guys. So it looks like you should at least come away with 4 points out of this week, you got to think.
Yeah, you hope so. I mean, in theory, you should be able to go into Philadelphia and get a win. And you should also be able to take care of business at home against Chicago. But, you know, like we always say, they have jerseys and get paid too. So you just can't show up and expect 2 points to be handed to you. So the Jersey game should be interesting after the Wild beat them. Was that a shootout or an overtime win? I believe that was a shootout, wasn't it?
Let me look that up here. Let's see. So that was last month, right?
Yes, I think it was a shootout win.
Yes, shootout. 3-2 on February 11th.
And Hughes wasn't playing for the Devils that night, so, you know, it's going to be a tough one for the Wild going into Prudential Center on Tuesday night to try to get points. But, you know, they've surprised us before this year, so don't count them out.
Look at that memory. Remembering 6 weeks ago what the outcome was. That's the Kevin Lucco stuff.
Yeah, right, I just don't really have a life outside of hockey, I guess.
You know, Kevin, I want to talk. We've talked a lot about what Minnesota did at the trade deadline and how that has improved this club. Really looks like they've made them a team to be reckoned with come playoff time this year. But there are some other teams out there that made some moves. I'm interested to know of the trades that you saw for some of the other clubs. Like, you know, Vegas is in looked like they were in a good position to make a playoff run, but their 4 goaltenders are all out and may not have any of them back this year. They go out and get Jonathan Quick, who we know is a Stanley Cup champion goaltender. He can lead a team. So, you know, was that a move you think, wow, that Vegas could really be a difference? Or is there a move that you saw in this West Division that you thought, man, that was really a good move for that team?
The Quick trade, yeah, I did not see that coming on as Quick being someone that was going to find the fountain of youth all of a sudden with Golden Knights, but boy, he's really come on and done quite a job for them. You know, as far as transactions would go, I honestly don't want to sound like a homer, but I just think what Minnesota did was flew under the radar. And you know, we haven't seen all the fruits of the moves yet, because Gustav Nyquist has not even stepped on the ice for Minnesota. That could be another weapon for the Wild as we go on to the playoffs. But trying to think where the big moves were. You caught me on this one, Rob.
I'm sorry. I just didn't know if there was a move that when you watched it happen, you thought to yourself, man, that was really a good move by Edmonton or Dallas or something, that you thought, wow, that was really something.
There were so many big moves, like, you know, Patrick Kane going from Chicago to the Rangers, and Tarasenko going from St. Louis to the Rangers. I thought Dallas getting Ty Domi, I thought, was a really nice addition. So there's a lot of teams that just made so many big moves that it was, you know, when so much happens, sometimes you kind of forget about stuff that went on. So, but, you know, I'm, you know, thinking on the fly here, looking at the trades as they went on. Oh, boy. I know this is making really good podcast history right now, but.
You're doing better than me, so you're doing fine.
Yeah, I think the ones that I mentioned, I thought those were the probably the biggest deals. You know, looking at this now and after seeing them in person, I thought Boston getting Tyler Bertuzzi from Detroit that added some really nice depth to that already deep Bruin team that's missing a guy like an Adam Hall, where you kind of wonder what's going to go on there when Hall gets healthy again. So, yeah, I guess that's the other one, I believe, that really stood out to me.
Excellent. Well, Kevin, we are 70 games into the season, about 68 or 69 around there for all three of the...
Oh, geez, we can't forget, too, in New Jersey, getting Timo Meier, I thought, was a huge coup for the Devils.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a huge one. And San Jose, you know, traded him out there. So he had a lot of scoring punch to that team. So we are about 10 games left in the AHL and ECHL schedules, about 12 games left for the Minnesota Wild right now. Man, we're in nitty-gritty time, Kevin. So reach into your crystal ball here as we close out the show and talk to us a little bit about, you know, something that you know, really just is on your mind as we're looking down here at the stretch of the leagues here for the Minnesota Wild organization.
I really like this time of year. Being a college hockey guy, you know, we're going to see all the NCAA regional play go on this week. And as those seasons run down, we slowly see guys being signed to the teams that drafted them or just being signed to amateur tryouts. So, you know, I think the thing with the Heartlanders will be, are they going to bring some guys in and give them a look? And we'll see how well they play down the stretch, and maybe they'll find some prospects to help them out next season to get back on track again. With Iowa Wild, it's look forward to seeing how that race continues for that fourth and fifth spot in the Central Division. And, you know, I think it's going to be, they have a little mini series with Rockford. That should be three really good hockey games there. And for Minnesota, it's not going to be the easiest schedule, mind you, but, you know, if the Wild just kind of keep playing their game and don't stray from defending your own end, well, there's a chance he could end up with home ice for the first round, which would be pretty huge, because I think your top three in the Central probably will be, if Minnesota can keep this up, will be Dallas, Colorado, and the Wild. So you're going to face either – you're going to have a heck of a challenge in the first round between Dallas or Colorado. But, you know, you're going to have to face teams like that at some point, Maple. Face them right away, right?
Exactly. You know, I think it's interesting, too, Kevin, going back to the AHL for a moment, you're likely looking at Rockford and Iowa Wild facing off against each other in that play-in series, if you want to call it that. neither of these teams has like dominated the other at home. Both have proven they can win on the road. So I feel like whoever has the home ice to that just doesn't matter. I mean, either team can win on each other's rink. And so it's like, it's just whoever's going to play better is going to be the team that wins that series. And it's your home ice advantage really isn't going to play a part in that, it seems like.
Well, there's going to be no secrets. The teams have faced each other enough this season where there's not going to be any surprises. And I just think that X factor is going to be how many guys will the Blackhawks send down to try to bolster the chances of the Ice Hogs.
Should be exciting. Kevin Lucco, thanks for joining me this week.
My pleasure.